Hello, everyone. I'm John Perkins, Brownfield's weekly livestock market update in for Megan Grebner. And we are joined, as usual, by University of Missouri agricultural economist Scott Brown. Scott, how you doing?
I am doing great, John.
Scott, the three rounds of market facilitation payments that were issued by the federal government in 2019 definitely helped out a lot of producers' bottom lines. How do things look in 2020 with no scheduled MFP?
If you look at what USDA gave us this week in terms of those first look at 2020 estimates, it does stick out when you look at what were government payments of $23.7 billion in 2019, falling to $15 billion according to USDA in 2020. It certainly affects farm income. USDA is suggesting 2020 farm income to be up $3.1 billion over 2019. So even though we have the decline in government payments expected for 2020, USDA's projection of an $8 billion increase in livestock receipts is really what's driving their more optimistic scenario of farm income in 2020. So we'll see where we go in terms of hog prices and cattle prices as we go through 2020. But USDA certainly is showing livestock receipts up significantly from where we were in 2019.
And one of the reasons why the federal government issued those MFPs last year was because of the trade dispute between the United States and China. China is lowering tariffs on some U.S. agricultural goods, at least slightly. That does include pork and beef. Do you expect that to boost sales after what was a mixed month for meat exports in December?
John, you know, if you look at the reductions that China's suggesting, I think it does spell some opportunities for U.S. Pork and potentially beef into China as we go look ahead. You know, if we look back at the December numbers that we got this week so we can finish out 2019, again, I think you can look at pork and go, we had a really good end to 2019 with the December numbers that we saw. Pork exports setting at about 282,000 metric tons for December, up significantly from where we were. We can talk about record large exports in 2019, nearly $7 billion in value. China has certainly been important to that. When you look at the data, you know, we would talk about what was back in September, only 76 million pounds of pork going to China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan, yet by December expanded to 230 million pounds. So it's been a rapid growth, and with the tariff cuts that we've talked about occurring this week, I think when we start to see January, February numbers, it's going to get stronger. On the beef side, I keep reminding us U.S.-Japan agreement certainly been helpful, I think, on the beef side. We saw exports to Japan that finally for December came back to where we were year-ago levels. But for much of the year, Japan below year-ago, I think, certainly hurt in terms of where exports go. I'm kind of looking forward to see what happens in that China trade as we move in 2020 as well. We might get some strength in terms of beef as well going to China. So as we got the monthly December data, it certainly put a close to 2019 that saw stronger pork exports, even though on the beef side we were a little below where we were in 2018.
Scott, how did the first jobs numbers of 2020 look?
Yeah, I think we were actually surprised a little bit on the positive side with the 225,000 jobs added in January. The unemployment rate was little changed at 3.6%. When you look, we also got revisions in November and December data as well that added between those 2 months another 7,000 jobs. So we're certainly seeing the domestic demand side, especially from a jobs report standpoint, looking good as we enter 2020. I keep reminding us when we think about the supplies of especially additional pork on the marketplace, making sure that we have consumers with more money in their pockets is going to be important. And this jobs report certainly suggests to me that's going to continue.
And Scott, speaking of important, we've got some pretty important numbers out next week as well.
That's right. So, you know, we're going to start early next week with a WASDA report from USDA. So get their sense of where they see current markets. I know there's a lot of questions swirling around the impacts of a Phase 1 China agreement. I'll be curious to see what kind of changes we get from USDA out of that WASDA report. We're going to finish the week with some more domestic demand news. We get retail prices out on Thursday, and then we'll finish the week with consumer sentiment.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Scott, and have a great week.
You do the same.
For Scott Brown and for Megan Grebner, thanks everyone for listening. I'm John Perkins with Brownfield's Weekly Livestock Market Update.